Well, it's a pleasure to be back here this week. If you can't hear me, just, you know, kind of point your thumb up or something, and I'll try to remember to keep my voice loud. We're going to read through a passage. It's rather long this time, so we're going to take three slides to show it. It's from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. If you have a Pew Bible, it's page 764. John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Father, we ask that you open our hearts, that we can feel and know your love for us, that we can rest in that love, that we can abide in you as Jesus abode in you, that we might know your joy, your friendship, your selecting us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What makes your life fulfilling? What brings you a sense of joy, a meaning, a sense of purpose? This passage is from a discourse of Jesus during the Last Supper. It's from John 14, clear through John 17. We're just smack dab in the middle of it here. They reveal a great mystery about God, Jesus' relationship with God, and our relationship with Jesus. It also gives us the secret of what will make us joyful, fulfilled, and loving. This passage is following a spiritual comparison of Jesus. In John 15:1, the chapter starts with, "I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener." Like in the other Gospels, Jesus often goes after giving a comparison to explain the comparisons to his disciples and to us so that we won't miss the point. As a matter of fact, in this passage, he gives it to us three times so we do not miss the point. These verses go over what it means to be vines and branches. In John 15:4, the analogy is that a branch has to remain attached to the vine. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, Jesus makes this comparison explicit in these verses. As the Father loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. Like rest from last week, abiding, remaining, has the connotation of being something easy, something relaxed. But Jesus now moves on to what it means to remain. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. It's a paradox that we actively remain in Jesus' love. Jesus will use the word command in its different forms at least five times in these eight verses. So it's important to understand what he means by command. And even more important, he uses the word love, or words like love, nine times. I see the echo of this in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. love your neighbors as yourself. The command, the order, the desire of God and Jesus is that we love God and love one another. Like Phil pointed out last week in open worship, this simplifies what we need to do. There's not a long list of do's and don'ts. The command is to love. But at the same time, I would say it complicates things somewhat. It's easy to measure ourselves against physical, real world standards. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I pray. I study my Bible. I fellowship with Christians. I preach. I give to the church. I attend worship meetings. I volunteer for the food pantry. It is much more difficult to measure ourselves, though, against the yardstick of love. Have I responded to others in a loving way? Love in this passage uses two different Greek words. One is agapao, self-sacrificing love, and the other is phileo, the love of a friend or friendship. In this part, the harder word for love is used. We need to be aware that love here is not the English word of love in the sense of romantic love. The Greek word for that is eros, where we get the word erotic from. Love here is not a feeling that can be fallen into or fallen out of, or an emotion. Agapeo is the determination to love, to do the best for someone, even when they do not deserve it. As John MacArthur in his commentary on 1 and 2 Thessalonians put it, agapeo expresses the ideal kind of love, that which is exercised by the will rather than the emotion, not determined by beauty or desirability of the object, but by the noble intention of the one who loves. In fact, Jesus will go on to give the example of laying down one's life as the example of love. But before we get to that, Jesus adds a benefit for us for being loved by God and loving God and keeping the command to love one another. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Complete joy. Does it get any better than that? But here, joy is not our English word for an emotional feeling of well-being or elatedness. Joy here is the sense of confidence, assurance, and certainty. The same confidence that Jesus had in the Father, the same confidence that allowed Jesus to be a man of sorrow, the same confidence that allowed Jesus to proclaim that he had no place to lay his head, the same confidence that Jesus had to face death on a cross. This is the same confidence in God the Father that can be ours. It is the byproduct of staying in love of God through Christ. Joy is the gift we get as we love God and love others. The deeper our love, the fuller our joy grows. Jesus now hammers the point home for what the vine, the branches mean, and what it means to love one another. And he says what he expects the disciples and of us, and it's no easy task. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. As a junior high student, long before I was a Christian, I would read articles in the Reader's Digest. In particular, I would look for the articles about the Vietnam War, and there would be stories about a platoon stuck on some lonely hill through a dark night, and at some point in that story, someone would act heroically and bravely and do something to save the situation for the platoon. And at that time, I wanted to be like that person. There is something in us as human beings that directs us towards wanting to love one another. In Quaker terms, that would be that of God in us. It's innate. It's built into us as human beings. And while this one act of giving ourselves for others might sound a little easier, I find that love daily is much harder. That the acts that characterize our lives show that we remain in Jesus. We cannot love as Jesus expects us to unless we remain in Jesus' love. I'm not saying here that loving each other involves always giving in to what someone else wants of us. Our love may require us to stand up to others who are wanting something harmful to us or for themselves. That's the hard part of love. On an aside, while I was preparing the sermon, I ran across a quote from G.K. Chesterton. He said, "The Bible tells us to love our neighbors. It also tells us to love our enemies. And that's probably because generally they are the same people." Anyway, moving on. Jesus now gives us the second byproduct, or a second way to look at what happens when we are in God's love and loving others. And he says that we are his friends. "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Okay. I thought complete joy could not be exceeded, but I was wrong. I should have kept reading. Can it get any better than to be a friend of Jesus? I know the Father as Jesus, to know the Father as Jesus has known the Father. Being a servant of Jesus is nothing to be denigrated. Paul, Jude, Peter, John, they all describe themselves as servants of Jesus. But here, we use the word phileo in the Greek to mean to have affection for or fondness of. So the second effect of loving God and keeping the commandment to love is friendship with God. A knowing of God that changes our status from that of a servant to that of a friend. On another side, this is where Quakers, the Society of Friends, this is where that comes from, is that we know God in an intimate, personal way. We are the friends of God as we share his love with others. Now we hit the third time that Jesus, again, is trying to explain the metaphor of the vines and the branches. He reverses the order, though, this time. We get the benefit first and then the command to love. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other." Okay, I thought complete joy was over the top wonderful. I found that friendship with Jesus exceeded my wildest expectations, and now I find out I am a chosen of God. He picked me out. He sought me. He made me his friend. This points out that it was God's action that brought us to him, and that it's God's action and God's love within us that allows us to love one another. I cannot love in my own strength, as Jesus commands, but I've been selected and have been selected to show God's love to each other and to the world. We will be given resources to do this, to bear fruit that will last as we remain in God's love. One of the difficult lessons of life for me has been that things wear out and fail. You can ask Linda about how well I keep up my household chores. When I first started being a computer consultant around 1995, I went to a seminar and they said, every 3 years you're going to have to change your computers. At that time, I had my first Windows computer. It was running Windows 3.1. It had a 20 megabyte hard drive in it, a 1.44 megabyte floppy, and I couldn't understand why anyone would want anything more than that in a computer. Then I got a 486. Then I got a Pentium. Then I got a Pentium 2, and I don't even know what version I'm on now. The point is that things wear out. I guess I could have used a different example. dishwashers, floors, microwave ovens, cars. But the point is that in the world, the fruits of our labors do not last. But the promise here of remaining in God and Jesus' love is that we will bear fruit, and that fruit will last. Our love of others will have eternal consequences, not just temporal ones. Jesus completes this section of the Last Supper speech with a repetition of the vine and branches. This is my command, love each other. He will continue the speech with what it means to be chosen of God, i.e. that you'll be persecuted, and that God will give us the power that is the Holy Spirit. Abide in God's love and share it with each other as Jesus did. It's not an easy assignment. It's not an assignment that we can do on our own. We need God's love, God's friendship, God's joy to be able to love others that God loves them. In relationship with Jesus, we can do this. Not perfectly, not completely, but this is our calling as Christians in Jesus. I'd like to finish with a quotation from Paul in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. As we enter a time of open worship here, I just have a few queries for you. When have you experienced the love of God through another person? How did you respond? When have you experienced joy in serving others in God's love? What does it mean to you to be chosen, a chosen friend of God through Jesus?